I want to welcome everybody to the Master's Class at Summit Church, and we are in the book of Revelation, in chapter 20, verses 11 through 13, and we're going to be starting a couple of weeks of lessons on the final judgment. Now, the simple truth is that we live in a world full of evil. That's just the simple truth. Evil lives in the heart of man. Evil doesn't care who it harms, it just wants to harm someone or something. When a young man takes a gun to school and kills other students, that is evil living in the heart of that young man. I don't care what you believe you're a victim of, there is no rational reason to go out and start killing others for that. That's just plain evil. Now, no law can change the evil that lives in our hearts. Creating a perfect environment to live in cannot change the evil that lives in our hearts. You can make the world a Garden of Eden, and evil will still bubble up out of the heart of man. We learned that last week, right? When we talked about the millennial reign of Christ. There is only one way to change the heart of man, and that is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Yet this world rejects the free gift of salvation and being given a new godly nature that the gospel of Christ offers to a lost world. So evil grows and grows. The world gets darker and darker with sin. And it just seems that there's no answer to the problem, and that evil will eventually win and shut out the light of all that is good. Isn't that the way it seems like in this world? You know, as believers in Jesus Christ, as our Savior and Lord, we know that the answer is not to be found in man, but in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes again, He will deal with the evil of every kind. And He will deal with Satan and all of his followers, and He will deal with the evil that resides in the heart of man. A day of judgment is coming when Christ will deal with the evil that is in the heart of man. Amen? Amen. And I'm ready for that day, let me tell you. I'm tired of living in an evil world. You know, today's message is about that final judgment of the unsaved dead. And it is called the Great White Throne Judgment. Satan has persuaded mankind for centuries that there is no future judgment, no future punishment of any kind, no final accounting before God. It is a lie that has allowed evil to grow and grow and grow over the centuries. The Bible tells us over and over again that there is a judgment day coming. There is coming a time when God will put the final period upon the final paragraph, upon the final page, upon the final chapter, upon the final book of human history. This judgment will include every person who has ever rejected God's free gift of salvation, all the way back to the very beginning of time until the time of this judgment. If during your life on this earth you said no to the gospel message of Jesus Christ, then you will stand before Christ as your judge in this final judgment. This time of final judgment will come, and every scheme, every plan, every desire that men have sold their souls for will turn to rust, dust, and mold, and it will be corrupted. The unsaved dead will be raised from their graves to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ to be judged. Now, just to be clear, and because there are people listening to this podcast that may not know what I mean when I say unsaved, that means that you have rejected the gift of salvation offered freely by God. It means that when God said, "I loved you so much that I sent my Son to die on the cross so that you would not have to stand and be judged for the evil in your heart," you said, "No thanks, God. I'm just going to take my chances. When or if that final judgment day comes, I'll just take care of that then. That's what you've told God. This message today is about that judgment day, when you will stand and take your chances in front of the one that you so callously rejected. It is about the day that you will be judged for that rejection. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. Do we all know someone who's going to stand in front of that judgment? I do. And it breaks my heart. It honestly does. This is a message that I bring today with a broken heart, but with a joyous heart too, because I know that God will make things right. Now, I want to set the stage for this judgment, just so we know when it will occur. Now, remember that the book of Revelation, when we study it, we are speaking of Jesus, who is the Lamb of God. And we began this study in chapter 1, almost a year and 4 months ago. Can you imagine that? In chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. Would you like to go back and do it all over again? Amen. Yeah, sure. I don't know if I could do it again, but I could try. But almost a year and a half ago, we started in chapter 1, and we were talking about Jesus, who is the Lamb of God. And we began seeing Him in a vision of the glorified Savior, and we talked about what that vision represented. And then we moved on to chapters 2 and 3, and we talked about the seven churches of the church age period. And those are the times that we live today, right? And then there came in chapter 4 the rapture, when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise and the rest of the church age saints are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And then after the church is taken out at the rapture, there's a period of about 7 years on the earth that is called the tribulation period. And Satan is going to have his way during this period. The Antichrist will rise, and along with the false prophet, they will soon dominate the world. And this will be a period of God's judgment and wrath upon the earth. And there'll be terrible wars, and there'll be plagues and famine and deaths of huge segments of the population. While this is going on up in heaven, the judgment seat of Christ, which is when the saints themselves will be judged, and then the marriage of the Lamb will occur. And we all have talked about the marriage of the Lamb. So you've got the rapture, you've got the tribulation period, you got the judgment of the saints, and then you've got the marriage of the Lamb at the end. You got the battle of Armageddon, where Satan and everybody is taken care of. And then there's the millennial reign of Christ. So during the millennial reign, there will be the Lamb and the Lion that's going to lie down together in peace. And the earth shall be filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And then at the end of this millennial reign, we come to the final judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment is what it's called, where God settles the score and where God adjudicates with righteousness and justice forever and forever. He finally deals with sin. Now, the message today is going to be straight from the Word of God. Now, I'm aware that there's a lot of people out there that are going to disagree with what I'm going to tell you here today. But if they do, they are disagreeing with what the Word of God says, and it's plain. It's just that simple. The Bible says evil men understand not judgment. That just means that evil men don't want to understand that there is a judgment coming. For if they did, then they would have to admit that there is a sovereign God that will be their judge. And they don't want to admit that. So let's begin our lesson today with the fearful setting described. And this is going to be a description of the setting of the judgment. And we begin in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. Where do we get the description of the judgment? Right here. A great white throne, right? And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now notice the setting that John gives us of this judgment. He says, and I saw a great white throne. So there is a great white throne at this judgment. It is called great because of its awesome power. It is called white because of its absolute purity. And it is a throne of judgment, which speaks of the ultimate purpose, which is judgment. So So have you ever heard someone pray, Lord, grant us someday that we might stand before thy great white throne? Well, let me tell you, please don't pray that prayer for me. And if you've got even a modicum of knowledge about biblical truth, don't pray that prayer for yourself as well. Those who stand before the great white throne have to stand there to be judged, and it's because they are a part of the unsaved dead. Now notice who the judge is. John describes him as him that sat on it. Now it shouldn't surprise you, but it might, that the judge is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father is God, God the Son is God, God the Spirit is God. But the person of the Holy Trinity who will be upon his throne is the Lord Jesus Christ. John 5:22 says, For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And that is Jesus Christ, who today is the Savior, who will in that day be the judge. And at that time, the Lamb will become the Lion, because in the book of Revelation, Jesus is portrayed both as Lamb and Lion, both as Savior and Judge. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to tell you. In fact, if you don't remember anything else from this entire lesson that I tell you today, I want you to remember what I'm about to tell you, okay? You may make the choice not to be a Christian. You may choose to never give your heart to Jesus Christ, but one day you're going to meet Jesus Christ. Every person who has ever lived has an appointment already set on the calendar to meet Jesus Christ. He is inescapable. He is unavoidable. You will meet Jesus Christ. If you don't meet Him as Savior, then you're going to meet Him as Judge. You may have ignored Him, you may have denied Him, you may have disbelieved Him, you may have even cursed Him. But one day, you will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. It is inevitable. Jesus Christ is the one that John describes as sitting on the throne. You might ask, well, what is He going to be like when He's sitting on that throne? Is He going to be like the paintings that we see today with that gentle look and a tender touch and long white robes and barefooted or in sandals or long hair and short beard and meek and mild? Well, if that's the case, you know, that's not too bad. That's not too scary. I could stand in front of that Jesus, right? That's the one we see in pictures, right? Well, I'm here to tell you that Jesus never existed anyway. But, you know, the long hair and the beard, that's a whole other story. We won't get into that. But there was a meek and mild Jesus that came the first time as the Lamb, right? But actually, Jesus will no longer be the Lamb. He will be the Lion. He will literally be terrifying to stand before. And actually, we have already been introduced to what Jesus Christ is going to be like in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation 1, verses 13 through 16 says, And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and hairs were like white wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. So, this is not the image of the meek Savior of the Gospels that is going to be sitting on this throne of judgment. Here he is wearing the regal robes of a king and a judge, and his white hair speak of his unsullied purity. His eyes, like a flame of fire, tell us that he sees right through us. He sees all and he knows all. Hebrews 4:13 says, Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This judge cannot be deceived. He cannot be disputed. He cannot be discredited. This is a judge with eyes like fire. And his feet are like brass. Now, brass is the emblem and symbol of judgment. And his feet are a symbol of the fact that he is going forth to judge. When you walk on your feet, what are you doing? You're going forth. And these feet are brass, like they have been in a fire, and brass is the symbol of judgment. So he is going forth into judgment. His voice is like the sound of many waters, like 100 cascading waterfalls. Think you're going to argue with him? I don't know. Can you imagine somebody talking back to Niagara Falls? I don't think so. It ain't going to happen, right? So this is the Lord Jesus Christ who is sitting there upon the throne. Jesus Christ is the judge. That is the one who will be sitting upon this great white throne. The very sight of him will strike fear into the heart of those standing before him. You will not argue with him. You will not reason with him. And you will be judged by him. Now next, notice how John describes the position of those who are going to be judged. He says, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And this is just telling us that everything's stable, everything's steady, everything that we have known and depended upon is gone. And why do I know that? Because the phrase that says, from whose face the earth and heaven and fled away, means that while this judgment is taking place, the earth and the heavens have been destroyed, and they are being reborn. And there you are, standing before this judge, with no place to run and no place to hide. Adam and Eve ran into the trees of the Garden of Eden to hide themselves from the presence of the Lord. But there will be no hiding place at this judgment. It is just you standing face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His glory and power as the Almighty Creator of all things, the Son of the Living God, the second person of the Triune God, and this is the setting of the judgment. Now, obviously, the image I'm trying to give you is that this is a fearful setting. That this is not someplace you're going to go and try to debate with this judge as to all the great things that you have done. And we'll talk more about that next week. I just am trying to make the setting clear to everybody. Any questions about the setting before I go on? The awesome power of God is going to be on display at this. So let's talk about the forceful summons that is delivered in verses 12 and 13. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Notice there are plural books here. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. So notice the people who are called to the judgment. The dead, small, and great. So every lost person that has ever lived, rich man, poor man, great leaders, tyrants, kings, rulers, servants, slaves, and even blue-collar workers, business tycoons, and the homeless beggars, all of these will stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ to be judged. You don't buy your way out of this. You don't earn your way out of this. You will stand before this judge if you have ever lived and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you, they can be grouped into five different categories of people. And if you are an unsaved person, I want you to listen to these categories and tell me which one you are in. Now, if you're a saved person, you're not going to be in any of these categories, right? So I just want to make clear, these are the unsaved that will be at this judgment. All of the saved people have already been judged by the time this comes around, okay? Judgment seat of Christ, the tribulation saints, and the church age saints have all been judged and given their rewards and so forth. So, all right, so let's talk about the categories of people who will be at this judgment. And the first one will be the out-and-out sinner. Now, these people hate God, they hate Christ, they hate the church, they hate what we are doing here this morning, which is worshiping God and teaching His Word. They boldly, braggingly, brazenly shake their puny little old fist in the face of Almighty God and said, God, if there be a God, you are not big enough to make me serve you. You know, I don't believe that there are any that are here like that here today. If they are, they're here to mock us, and God have mercy on you if that's why you're here today. But The out and out sinner will be at this final judgment of the unsaved dead. That's the first category. I'll tell you who else will be there, and these are the self-righteous people. They will be there. These people are the ones who think they are too good to be damned. They think the gospel message is for the drunkard, the murderer, the pervert, the harlot. They think that the gospel message is for the wife abuser and for the blasphemer, but not for them, because they are nice people. They live in nice homes. They have nice manners. They have nice neighbors. They work in the PTA. They attend church. They sing hymns. They are nice, moral, ethical, law-abiding people, and yet they're going to be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. Now, why will good people be there? Because the gospel says that there is no one so bad that he cannot be saved, and no one so good that he need not be saved. Most of the people in America are self-righteous, egomaniacs, strutting to hell like they are too good to be damned. The worst form of badness is human goodness, when human goodness becomes a substitute for the new birth. The self-righteous person will be at this final judgment of the unsaved dead. And I bet we all know people like this, right? Amen. Now, the third category of people will be the procrastinators. Yeah, we don't have any procrastinators around us, do we, at all? So they intend to be saved. And there may be some like that even here today. You know that you're a sinner and you're not antagonistic to the gospel, but you just don't intend to give your heart to Jesus, at least not today. I mean, you got too much fun you want to have before you give up all that partying and that whole kind of life, right? Yeah, I want to wait until I'm old and gray and can't have parties anyway, right? I'm going to hold off on that just for a little while, Lord. But Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." If you are an unsaved person, I beg you, in the name of Jesus, don't put away the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, if you would hear God's voice, harden not your heart." Psalms 95, 7 through 8 says, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Let me ask you something. Can you feel your heartbeat? Can you feel your heartbeat? Put your hand up here on your chest, right here in the middle of your chest, and I want you to feel your heartbeat. You got to press in a little hard sometimes because there's a lot more material in front of in my chest than there used to be. But press right in there and feel that little bitty old heartbeat beating in there. That small beat is all that is between you and hell. You know, someone has called the heartbeat of an unsaved person a muffled drum being a funeral march to the grave. And that is exactly what that is. You know, I can't say this any plainer, but one day your heart is going to stop beating. And when it does, if you don't know Jesus, you are going to hell. You are going to hell. You might ask, "Well, Keith, are you trying to frighten me?" I would to God that I could. I'd rather frighten you into heaven than lull you into hell. Now, who will be there at this final judgment of the unsaved dead? Well, the out-and-out sinner, he's going to be there. Who will be there? Well, the self-righteous person is going to be there. Who will be there? The procrastinator is going to be there. There's another category of persons that don't fit into any of these first three categories, and this is the unsaved church member. Now, really, unsaved church members are not going to be the judgment of the saints and so forth. They're going to be having to stand in front of the judge. You know, there are people who have religion, but they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. They are religious. They're not anti-God. They just have simply been deceived. You know, they are counting on the faith of their parents. They are counting on their rituals. They are counting on their church attendance, their baptismal certificates, and their tithe receipts to be saved. They're standing in good standing of the church. I mean, their name is right there on the top of the church membership roll. This is a member in good standing. There are preachers, there are deacons, there are church members who are in our churches today which will be standing before the throne of God because they are an unsaved church member. They have religion, but they don't have Jesus Christ. It will be a great day in America when people stop enduring religion and start enjoying salvation. So let me ask you, do you know Jesus? Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? The devil loves people counting on their religion to get them into heaven. In fact, the devil would just as soon send you to hell from the pew as he would from the gutter. In fact, he would rather do that because then you're going to take other people with you, right? And there are many people who will die and go to hell as lost church members. This is why we are told in the Bible to examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul tells us to examine yourself, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in ye, except ye be reprobates. Are you a Christian? Do you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? I'm not asking you if you're religious. I'm not even asking if you're a Baptist, a Catholic, a Mennonite, a Pentecostal, Church of God, Assembly of God, a Methodist, or heaven help us, even a Presbyterian. I am not even asking you if you know the plan of salvation. What I am asking is, do you know the man of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you truly saved? Are you truly saved? That's the question you need to be asking yourself. Who is going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne in judgment? Lost church members are going to be there. Then I'll tell you another category of persons who will be there and don't fit into any of these other categories, and those who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, wait, whoa, time out. Hang on, Keith. Time out. Oh, what did you just say? Did you say that there are people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and they're going to be in front of the great white throne of judgment? If a person has never heard the gospel, how can they be condemned? Sin, absolutely. He may not have enough light to save him, but he has enough sin to condemn him. Right? Romans 3:23 says what? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then you might ask, wait a minute. Won't they have an excuse when they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? No, they will not. Romans 1:20 through 21 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now this says that even without the light of the gospel, you have still seen the light that God is in creation. What you do with that light will determine your destiny. If you see that light and want to know more about God, God will give you more light. Even if it means he has to parachute in a missionary, he will make sure that you have more light. No one will have an excuse before God. But the Bible does tell us that there are degrees of judgment. Hell will not be the same for everyone. Luke 12:47 through 48 says, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did not commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So this says that if you know the master's will, meaning that you had heard the gospel and prepared not yours, neither did things according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. And this means that your punishment will be greater in hell if you know and have heard the gospel message and you know the will of the master and did it not. But he that knew not, meaning that he didn't hear the gospel, and did commit things worthy of the stripes, meaning that you still do the sin, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Now, if you are in this class today, and you hear the gospel preached from this teacher, or you hear it preached in the worship service, or on TV, or on some podcast, and yet you refuse the Lord Jesus Christ willfully and knowingly, I have to say, I would not want to be in your shoes at this judgment. When Jesus sent out his disciples to preach the good news, he said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, "And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Look at what that says. It shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment for those who willfully and knowingly reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is telling us that the dust that is shaken off the shoes of this preacher when you refuse to listen will be used against you in the day of judgment. It's going to be a testimony against you. You might stand on the judgment day and say, "Oh God, have mercy, I didn't have a chance." And God's going to say, "Angel, bring Exhibit A." "Angel, what's Exhibit A?" So that's the dust off the shoes of Keith Martin that morning he taught on Judgment Day, and you sat there in church listening to him. Don't say that you didn't have an opportunity. You have an opportunity. There are those who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. God deals with them one way, but God deals forcefully with the person who arrogantly, willfully, deliberately, knowingly says no to Jesus Christ. Those who have never heard the gospel will be there to stand before the Lord in judgment on that day. They will be one of the categories of people that will be there. But you know, if nothing else, this fact alone should make us want to evangelize as many people as we can. That's what missions is all about. That is why I spend as much time as I do on this podcast getting it out to the people of the world so that they can hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. So, this is the setting of the Great White Throne Judgment. And those are the people who are going to be at that judgment. Next week, we're going to talk a lot more about this judgment that is to come.